racing down that highway with no destination on. It's the speed of things that drives you, not the hope of getting home. The home's an empty nest of anger where no harmony resides. You want that crazy preaching out there, not the solitude inside. You want those burning cities, you want the power and the gold. You want that grand power to possess all you can hold. You think that no one can stop you, this is what you've been told. You've been at this game forever, and the game is getting old. Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view, just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. A wake-up call designed for everyone. It might be the very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Could be something you left behind.
You can contact James live on the air several different ways. You can call by phone, toll free in the United States and Canada at 888-863-2722. If you have internet access, point your browser to www.feettofire.com. That's www.feet2fire.com, and check the left of the screen for the How to Participate text and click. You can then choose Direct Chat with James or join the official group chat room. You can send email to James at f2f@innersights.com. And now, live from Chicago, here is the Black Knight of Talk Radio, James Arthur Yancic.
Long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. With a deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. No one stays anonymous when they get you in his eyes. Mr. Apocalypse is coming.
Oh yeah!
He's rising into view just like the sun.
Mr. Apocalypse is coming. How many times have you heard that song? That is less visible, who is writing and singing, performing it, and is here to talk about it and other things. You know, you hear Les every week here doing a kind of a commentary on spiritual, say metaphysical, political. You know, it's a whole gambit. He's in all the different areas. In fact, he's got such a wide range. He has many different blogs that he uses to put his information out there. And he's been doing an audio commentary on Feet to the Fire since June of 2008. And so whether we knew it or not, it went past this 8-year anniversary with doing it for our show and our listeners, but then also throughout the mega listenership that he has on his blogs, repost those messages, those commentaries, which are then heard around the world as well. Less Visible has several of the blogs. We'll be putting scrolling these blogs along the way as we talk with Les. So let me push the magic button and bring into us live from the East Coast of these United States. Well, not too united anyway nowadays, but Less Visible. And welcome to the show, Les.
Well, thank you. Okay. Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Ah, where are my dead hookers? You know.
Well, Les, I tell you, we've talked several times. You've been in a position of many people would not have survived before, so I think the dead hookers are just one of many ways.
I just want my dead hookers, okay? However, thank you, James, and it is a pleasure, really, to be on your show. I mean, I always appreciate you. It is a pleasure to be able to talk to you, you know, but, you know, sometimes I'm really not myself. I'm pretty much like a dead hooker right now, but, you know, Lori is over here, like, slapping her legs, but what can I say?
Well, alrighty. Alrighty, then.
Okay. Ask your questions.
Yes. Well, you've written many things on the various stuff going on, but I have put together what I thought of some troubling things that are waiting ahead politically, and I've come up with a couple of scenarios. I'd like you to pick one or all or add your own. Is that
easily done?
Trump has now on board with him some of the insider elites of the Republican Party. And so here's my scenarios. One, he loses the election. Okay, fine. Two, he wins the election. And then, let me go back. He gets killed prior to the election.
Okay. Yeah, understood.
Two, he wins the election. And then the right kills him and puts one of their vice president is going to do a better job of doing what they want. So the left keeps him out by killing him. The right gets him in and then kills him. Or they have him, they put him over the pit and have the Anunnaki come out and, like, eat a little child or something and say, your kids are next if you don't do what I say. And then he either, you know, goes along with him or is killed in office.
Do you have a little child that I can eat right now?
No.
And I'm sorry, but, you know, I'm just curious. About that thing, these two questions that you asked, Donald Trump is the lesser of two evils, okay, how I see it, and he probably has my vote, okay, because I'm usually voting for no one, but no one is not on the ballot, so not much I can do, right?
Right, and it's a good way to look at it because, like the last election, there was no one on the ballot. I didn't bother to pay attention to it. Before that, I was for Ron Paul as an outsider, as he was. But I'm not a real political guy. So for me to get involved even with Ron Paul back then was uncharacteristic. And now I wasn't even hardly paying attention until I started to look and see how much his own people and the left hate him so much. To me, that's got to be some type of an endorsement for him not being one of the normal behind-the-scenes party guys.
Normal left the building a long time ago, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, truth, if you want truth, you better go find it inside yourself because you're not going to find it in anyone else, okay? I mean, you can find it in yourself maybe and then be representative of it every time you speak to someone else. Now, there's a strange, I don't know, dichotomy maybe, where you find the truth in yourself. I mean, I have a problem with that. I looked inside myself. I couldn't find the truth. But I was looking. You know, I was looking very hard, and I kept looking, and there was this tiny little spark of being that which I had, you know, measurably, like, lost track of. And back to you, James.
Well, I that was very good. Well said here, because I think that when you find that spark and allow it to grow, this is where you'll find truth, and it comes to you when you need it, as opposed to when you're looking for it.
Well, you know, I really have to, like, capture my own sense of attention right now because, you know, for me, you know, a lot of these things are really out of control and out of perspective, really. And perspective is really an important place to start. The world is not the way we think it is, you know. We only just put our particular dimensions upon it, okay? And when I say dimensions, I mean dimensions. Do you understand?
Dimensions?
Demon mentions.
Oh, dimension. Gotcha. Gotcha.
However the case might be. You know, I have sorted myself out and tried my level best to make truth out of the whole scenario of existence. And here's what I've come up with. Pretty much nothing, okay? There's a writer called Robert Svoboda. Svoboda, S-V, who has a last name like that, I don't know. But he wrote these, like, three agora. It's about the left-hand side of God, okay? Very interesting books. I'm dumbfounded, you know, in a way. I want to make it, like, work, but I can't, you know? But you should read these books. Everyone should read these books. Robert Svoboda, he wrote The Left-Hand Side of God. He wrote Kundalini. And then he wrote the one that came after that. I don't really know what that one's called yet because it hasn't come in the mail yet. But, you know, James?
Yes?
They're screwing with us all the time, okay? They really are. They own the media. They own the stars, even, if you ask them. They own everything. You know, and I don't know what to say. You know, I'm trying to think of something to say, but I find myself, like, shotgun in the stomach. Okay, bad place to, like, get a shotgun shot.
Yes.
In the stomach. A terrible place. I don't know. I feel like I should talk about the Holocaust, but, you know.
Well, we can. I just happen to be doing coming off this monologue thing. Now, on that topic, what I've done in the show is, what I've done in my life, and I hate calling it a show because this isn't a show. This is just like an extension of,
it's a
of
broadcast.
What, yeah, broadcast. Well, what I do. And I share with people, and I share my intentions, and my intention is to find truth. So, I mean, it sounds kind of simple and perhaps coy, but it's true.
If you want the truth is in front of your eyes, okay? But then again, appearances lie. They always lie, okay? Every appearance that comes in front of you is a lie. Unless you get that together, well, you don't have anything together.
And, well, what I've done is, over the past, and I've looked at everything. First off, I've throughout my years of doing this, and I have every show, just about every show I've ever done on there, and you can see an evolution from someone just wanting to do a kind of a talk show about weird things into actually getting serious and finding reality, as I call it now, because reality, I think, is more sure than truth, which can be manipulated. But when I've done these things, I've stumbled into various topics that have been pretty hot, and I'm coming into anything without presuppositions anymore, anyway, because I've had enough of my own paradigm smashed before my eyes that I don't want to have any particular presumptions. And I have found that no matter what I looked at, it was never all the way right. It wasn't right or wasn't correct. It wasn't accurate. There were parts of it, and it was manipulated for some power base to take over. And I mean, it's like everybody. The Bible, politics, music, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, you have the pure people who are creating for creating's sake, and they're, of course, in the background, but the power structure takes over and takes the system over.
It's all BS. You know it's all BS. You know this, okay? James, you tirelessly work from your particular format. And I mean, it's my pleasure to be part of what you do, but it's all BS. You know, it's a lie. You know, they just do it over and over and over again. You know, now what they just did in Munich, you know, and what they did in Nice, you know, all staged events, by the way. Correct?
Yeah. Now let me say, I think these things are staged, but what I see and people breaking it down is they're blaming it on the whatever they're saying it is, the Patsy, you know, they're blaming on this. And then you have another group saying, no, it didn't happen. It's all fake. It's all been put together. And I think what I have found in reality is it's both. You have some people who you can manipulate and use, and you coach them, and you work with them, and you time them to do what you want when you want to do it. So there is a real event, and that, but it's fake in that it's all been coaxed and staged for other purposes than what was stated. Would that be fair to say that?
James, I really can't answer that in a realistic way, because what you're saying is, you know, you really said it in your own words. You know, it's all staged.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, from my perspective, I haven't a clue. You know, I really don't know. I'm doing my best just to stay on my feet at this point. I don't know if you understand.
No, I understand. Believe me.
Yeah, I'm doing my best just to stay on my feet. That's what suckers.
To use your phraseology, when someone asks, "Hey, how you doing?" My response is 1 foot in front of the other. That's what I'm doing. Is basically that's what it is. So
well, I don't think it was Lao Tzu who said it, but someone said the longest journey begins with the first step. You know.
Yes, because to make that first step, you usually have to change from where you're coming from, and that's always a traumatic situation. Usually knocked in the head.
Believe me on that. It's not pleasant to be where I am right now. It's very difficult to be me. I have like gone without food for a week, pretty much, and I've been pretty much pouring down my nutrition, you know, I would say. I have a handler with me right now who is looking out for me. But, you know, James, the world is not what we think it is. We try to imagine certain realities and truths, but yet they don't fundamentally, you know, add up to what we're looking for. And so we keep looking, you know, we're just like that. We keep looking and looking and looking. And, you know, it's pretty screwed, really, if you think about it. I'm trying to keep the profanity out of my, what's it called? My vocabulary, my conversation. I have a CIA handler with me right now, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That doesn't sound really nice.
It's okay. Look, they're here with guns, you know, and all that. And, you know, I just have to, like, behave myself, sort of, you know, but I don't think I can. I'm trying, though. They don't like me very much, James. Yeah.
Then why, you know, here's the question I wonder about what people do. Why are you alive? I mean, is it divine intervention and it keeps alive to a point, and then the dark side can only go in so far, and they know that, so they will rather play with you rather than trying to wipe you out?
Well, here's the reality of that one. In order to take someone over, you have to be able to grasp their subconscious, okay? When you can grasp their subconscious, you have total control of the rest of them, all right? When you can get into where their dream space goes, when you can get into where their unconscious mind is operating, they're toast, okay? If you want more, like, information about control, I'd be happy to give it to you, but...
Right, well, yeah. I mean, that's a good summary of it. I will ponder that because I have had some odd dreams. But I seem to... I don't know. There seems to be, it just seems like there's another force helping me out. I don't know. And but it's going downhill around me, so I'm being helped out as I'm going downhill. But anyway, my point of coming up with this kind of a long roundabout thing is, when I go about looking at stuff, I realize that, one, the story you hear in the history books is not accurate. There are political reasons behind it. The victor writes history.
Really?
You know, and all these kind of general statements that people might go like, well, that duh, of course. But I came across them on my own by seeing things, how they were, and so on. So I can have a personal hands-on knowledge. I accept this as a reality around me because of my, you know, my living my life and searching. So I go into topics, and I don't, you know, I'm talking about this whole election thing. I'm not Republican, Democrat, and yet I can still talk about it. I can point out crap on both sides. Well, when I started to accidentally look into a post-World War II politics, working back to pre-World War II politics, I saw the same thing. And it's not that I was dumbfounded, that it's not what they told us. But then when I started looking at the various political factions, they were extreme. It was exactly how they told us, and the other side was, it was nothing like they told us. But like everything else, I find a mixture of the two.
Yeah, okay. I will agree with you on that. You know, to me, the eye lies, okay? What you see is not what you get. That's not what you get. What you see is a lie. And I mean, it's the totality of your own experience. I mean, part of what you hear is a lie also. Most of what you hear is a lie, of course. Everything your senses tell you are a lie. And I mean, better than that, I can't say.
How about if I say your senses are imperfect and the information provided by them can be manipulated by within or without? As opposed to just simply saying a lie. It's a very short way to say it, but what we're taking in is being manipulated by us to create a reality around us, and what we take in and what we do with it is also being manipulated by other people who are trying to get our energy.
We are willing puppets, okay? We let that happen to us, just like you said. You know, that is a fact. We let things happen to us, which arguably, it's not in the present, okay? It's all done ahead of time. It's all put ahead of time. Socrates once said, you know thyself, or this without doubt is the most reprehensible folly, thinking what we do not know. Didn't you put that up on your website?
Yes. The unexamined life is not worth living.
It's not worth living, yes. You know, for myself, James, and it's really a pleasure always to be on your show, but I'm not myself right now. I'm arguably not. However, you and I agree fundamentally upon certain precise values, you know. And what are you going to do? You do the best you can. That is what you do. You do the best you can. Everything else is a waste of time. Seriously. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's all you can do is the best you can. And as you go along doing the best you can, it's of my opinion that you are given, I call it a window to the soul. I say it's like the little dog Toto pulling away the mane from the curtain. You get a little glimpse. And at that point, you have to make a decision. You know,
I remember that scene, The Wizard of Oz, okay, where the dog did that, and Dorothy actually exposed him, and the ruby slippers. I remember the whole thing. I'm not gay, thank God, but I mean, they like that stuff. I'm sorry, James.
What I was saying about the idea is that we get a little glimpse of a better, a more accurate view of reality. And then at that point, we have to make a decision. Do we draw closer to that revealed aspect, or do we recoil? And at the same time, the deceivers can give you a fake glimpse of a fake reality, And I find the difference between the two is the fake reality either uses a fear or a temptation to lure you into that reality, whereas the actual truth has a deeper, more amazing sense, even if it's not a pleasant thing, that you can't help, if you're looking for truth, you can't help but look deeper.
This is true. Eventually, the pain of life forces you to pay attention to your own circumstances, see? Eventually, the suffering that you go through makes you understand the reality of the moment that you're in. You know, I tried to formulate or figure out or make sense out of all of this, and it's nearly impossible for me. You know, I don't know what is going on, you know, really, but I try to research it, you know, because otherwise I can't write my blogs. I can't, you know, I can't keep working on my book. I can't, my next book anyway, I can't make sense out of all of this. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So I just do the best I can.
What I ended up happening was you've been on my show for many years, and you bring out a lot of tidbits. So at the same time, you've said things before about the banking elite and the Zionists and whatnot, which a lot of people have a pretty good agreement with on an overview sense. But I stumbled into a guy named David Irving, who's written a lot, a bit of historian about World War II, and I started to watch his lectures on YouTube before because I can't get an audiobook. I don't have time to read. I have to listen to books. And a lot of evidence that he put together, without going into all kinds of detail, showed me clearly that what we've been told about the Holocaust is not accurate. And now it's not that bad things didn't happen. It's not that there were bad guys involved. It's just that, to put it in the least sense, this situation was used to further political agenda.
To blackmail the human race.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Look, my friend, and I believe I can call you my friend,
mm-hmm.
All right, I have dealt with this thing up and down the yardarm, but there are a few things that I don't understand. I understand also right from this point here that I have no desire to, like, deny the Holocaust, whatever the hell that was. I mean, but there are a few things that I don't get. One is, how come the Jewish calendar states that more people were born than died during the entire war? Now, there's a problem that I have. Okay, how about the Red Cross documents? They're the only ones that were allowed into the camps. How come it is that they came up with 208,000 dead? I mean, it's right there in black and white, if you wish. And how come it said 4.5 million died at Auschwitz when it said only 1.1 died later on? They still got 6 million. So to me, it's blackmail, you know, and this is what they've been doing, you know. They're getting rich off other people's, you know. Let me take it back a little bit. Before, and I mean before so-called Holocaust in Germany, it was happening in Russia, okay, or the Soviet Social Republic, if, whatever you want to call it. How come 20, 30, 40 million people died there, done by the same people who later claimed that they are victims, you know, after that, you know, I'm just, maybe I'm misinformed, you know.
Well, the people who are witnesses, as I read Irving's work, were a very small number, and the numbers that claimed the people who survived were in the very tens of thousands, and yet there seems to be a small number of people who came forward. These are some of the arguments. I'm not going to try and make David Irving's arguments. People don't have to read that stuff.
Let me help you with this, okay? In case, most of this comes from Nuremberg, okay? The Nuremberg trials, okay? Let me tell you something about the Nuremberg trials. Four of the five prosecutors were all Jewish, okay? Only one was whatever the hell he was. I have no idea. Anyway, they were crushing their testicles, okay, and getting their admissions together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They were taking these, like, instruments they had, and they were crushing their testicles. Now, I mean, is that any way to get truth? I mean, I got to ask you.
No. No, I mean, obviously, when you get confessions, it's not really impressive any way you look at it, and especially when you throw torture in there. I mean, confessions can be done to make a deal. Confessions can be done to under torture. But there's a what I'm trying to get to at this point was I bumped into a movie that I watched. It's called Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. And I'm going to try and get in touch with Dennis Y, who's the writer-director. It is 6.5 hours long. And in that movie, a lot of information was given out that I had no knowledge of.
Shoah by Steven Spielberg was twice as long as that. So, that's all I can say.
And it had a lot of information showing the atrocities on the Allied side. Which, see, I don't have trouble dealing with because I lost my luster and my illusion of, the great USA over the years. The people, and many of the people may be great people, but the governments are all psychopathic. So, I mean, I got no problem, but it was still startling to see the numbers and the information put up there of how bad it was. Just going to throw one that comes to my head, that 99.5% of the German the Allies who were in German custody were returned, and there were great loads of prisoners who were purposely sent back to the now Stalin-controlled homelands who were butchered. And it had actually interviews with some of these British soldiers who, you can see they're all messed up, through history. Yeah, I was there, and he could tell. They were all messed up from seeing this stuff happen.
Well, you know what? Listen to Solzhenitsyn, he wrote some very, startling books, which have been shut down. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he had some very pointed things to say. Look, when the Russians rolled in to Berlin, they just assassinated the Germans like you wouldn't believe. They turned them all into whores. And, let me point this out, by the way. Back in cabaret society, before that war even happened, okay, who controlled Berlin and all these big cities? The Jews. They did. Now, I don't mean to, let me be very clear about this, because I really want to be as substantial and truthful as I can. I got nothing against Jews. When I was in trouble in my life, the people that helped me out were Jews, okay? So let me be very specific about that. But the reason Hitler went after that scene in the first place was because they owned everything. They were using the entire country as whores. So, go back and check it out. You don't have to ask me.
Right. Back. Yeah, and I'm just trying to put this stuff out here. Because, see, the thing is that amazed me is that by breaching the subject, which just by chance I haven't, I started to see some backlash, and I was kind of, these from people I've known for years, and I'm kind of like, wait a minute, I'm just asking questions, right? And there's stuff coming up that doesn't fit, so I want to investigate it, and just investigating it is a crime. Well, actually, it is in many countries.
It's a big crime.
And it's like, wait a minute, you're legislating history? So if you find something that doesn't jive and you want to look into it, and you are now called a, quote, Holocaust denier, unquote, you're not called somebody who is looking at history for validity. You're called these various names. And I'm just kind of taken back that I thought I'm naive, right? I thought you can look at anything honestly.
You're not naive.
Well, I mean, I thought you can look at anything honestly and there's going to be some differences here and there. At least there'd be difference of opinion here and there. There's going to be some stuff that, we didn't know that it was dug. It was politically buried for some reason. That's not really surprising me. It's the veracity And the amount of the targeting,
that would be truth, people.
The targeting is phenomenal. It's like if you were standing just out in public in a park, and you decided to tear off a child's arm and eat him. The reaction that comes is that amazingly directed. I'm like, what? I'm just looking at information here. It's like I my basic tenet is everything that you read, there's truth and there's lies to it because the people are using it.
James.
Yeah.
I looked for the truth very, very hard, okay? And believe me when I say I looked for the truth very hard. What I found was disturbing, okay? Now, you know, maybe I was wrong. You know, maybe I didn't see what was there, but I think I did. Yeah, I think I did. Okay, I think I did see what was there. And it's a big lie, okay? It's a big stinking lie. And, you know, they're profiting off of it. They're just bankrolling billions off of it. I almost said millions, but that would have been like, you know, a real bit of a shortcut. They have been banking billions off of this. They have been doing crazy, ugly stuff. And for the last 60 years, they have been eliminating the Palestinians. You have surely seen that map of Palestine, right? Which was a certain size. And now there's nothing. I mean, explain this to me, James.
Well, I look at this again. I'm coming back from not expert in World War II history. You know, I got the Cliff Notes and through school and in college. Going back and looking at this stuff and seeing the documents that were written about the agreements made in war, and it goes back to World War I. You can't even talk about World War II without looking at World War I and what has happened and how the spin was.
Which created by bankers, by the way.
Yes. And the thing is to cut to the chase, guess what's happening today? It's the same thing. This is why Donald Trump, as watered down as I would put him, compared to some other people in history that have challenged him, is so scared of the people because he's not one of the sworn, I swear at the altar of this lie type stuff. And I'm not saying that he even would agree with anything we're saying as far as the history. I have no idea what he knows. But he's got that potential. And when someone like Hitler did what he did in the first year of his reign. Now, granted, he took absolute power, and with that, there's going to be trouble, right? I understand that. Within the first year, he put...
Wait a minute. I have to intrude here for a moment. All of history is revisionism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's all a lie. The thing in Poland, okay, what they did in Glorious Bastards over, that was a total lie. It was actually backwards, okay? It happened differently than that, okay? I mean, Hitler, with all his pushes into Czechoslovakia, which is now called, and, Poland and the rest of those places, you know, he's just trying to keep the homeland safe. I'm not saying that he did the right thing. This I am not saying.
Right.
Because he was a bit of a dictator, obviously. But he had his reasons, and he had good reasons, too. Now, given that, the rest of the world, you remember that snapshot from the New York Times where it says America's Jews declare war on Hitler?
Yeah.
You know that piece.
Right. It's actually in this movie I was talking about.
Okay. Well, so you've seen it.
Yes.
So, you know, I mean, look, the people that own the money own the world. That's how it goes. The people that own the money own the world. And believe me, my brother, and you are my brother, okay? The people that own the money own the world. That's why back when Harris, what's his name, Woodrow Wilson was president, whatever, I'm back around like the First World War, if I'm correct, and then the Federal Reserve came in. And before that, they had thrown it out. Andrew Jackson threw it out, okay? And so then they moved up, and they pretty much owned the entire world since that point.
But one of the things I learned from this, and again, I can look at these data and not have to sign on to any moral overhanging, just looking at it, is that the paper money is literally worthless. It's our belief in the paper money that allows us to be controlled.
Exactly.
And so you have people over history, we're talking about Gaddafi, we talk about Hitler, we talk about Lincoln, we talk about...
Look at what he did to Gaddafi, okay? This guy, have you ever read the Green Book? Have you ever read the Green Book?
No, I haven't.
All right. So I would, if I were you,
okay,
read the Green Book by Gaddafi. That was one of the greatest leaders of all time, okay? He created an underground, you know, aqueduct.
Yeah.
Okay, that unbelievable what he did, and every single Libyan got to go to college. Okay,
yeah.
He had it completely, I mean, down to fine senses, and he lived in a tent in the desert. Okay, this is what he did. So we went over there, and guess who was Secretary of State? We went over there, yeah. And she said, "We came, we saw, we killed him," which is a kind of a takeoff on Vini Vidi Vici, right?
Yeah.
Which is what Julius Caesar said. And, you know, they sodomized that guy with a knife. I mean, I got more class than that.
Yeah, well,
Go ahead.
Saying kind of Gaddafi for a second, I mean, he brought bloom water to the desert, that aquifer is the largest aquifer ever made in history and all this stuff. He came up with a gold system for his own money, not plugged into the bank. And what Hitler did is he threw out the moneymakers and he created his own system, no usury on the German people. He built roads, brought the, within 1 year, half the unemployment, 3 million Germans back to work. Within 5 years, it's the number one economic powerhouse in Europe. How's that possible? How's that possible for one little nation? It's because the money is all fake and we believe it. And we go along with it, and we're all walking, and they're laughing at us. The money changers at the top are laughing at us because we are voluntarily walking and going with them. They're going, look, oh, we're not doing nothing. You guys are doing it all.
Okay. In that respect, I will go along with you, okay? I just spent 15 years in Germany, okay? So believe me, I know. What I know about the Germans, they are the most industrious people around. They put 120% into everything they do. This I have seen, okay? This I have lived with. I mean, I had the most beautiful lady to live with there, however the case may be. And only because I said things about the Holocaust was I, like, thrown out of there, you know? You know?
I mean, that's one of the places you can't do that. But
apparently,
yeah, and also I bring up people like Chavez in Venezuela, again having like 20 cents a gallon gas, having education for the kids.
He was great. Then the guy that came in after him, when he died of cancer, which they gave him, by the way,
he outfoxed them a few times, but finally,
yeah, no, they killed him, you know, but you know.
So look at that now. Look at Libya now, and look at Germany post World War II. I mean, you could see this when you challenged and look at the axis of evil. That's another thing. When Bush talked about his axis of evil, all those axis of evil have in common is they all were going to go on a system of selling oil without using the American dollar, the Federal Reserve dollar.
You know, I'm sorry, I almost said the S word, but look. There are certain things that we have to get accommodated toward is the word I'm looking for. One of the things we have to get accommodated toward is understanding real politics, okay? You know the word real politics? You know this word?
The
real
word?
Politics? Henry Kissinger came up with it, you know, but however the case may be, you know, there's a lot of really bad people out there. You know, in this age of psychopaths, I mean, you can't overestimate your own,
Well, let me just say, I'm bringing up this video, Irving. We're talking about things here. I'm talking about how I go about doing it. Now, I had a little brief mention when you were on doing a broadcast a while back that got involved in this discussion. And the next day, now this is, yes. I'm going to say this is probably coincidence. All right, I'm not a paranoid person, but the next day my credit card was hacked, and I started getting emails from people saying that we know where you are, we know what you're doing. In a weird sense, it was, I actually on my YouTube, which I deleted. I don't keep if people give positive or negative comments that are intelligent, I leave them. But if they're going to be goofy, I don't. And it was talking in some kind of a weird dialect of English, misspelling words about we know where you are, you know, you're talking about us, we're coming to get you. Now, this could all be because some knucklehead heard the show or not, or, you know. But it happened, okay? So
yeah, okay. I got that. I kind of understand this, you know. I have no credit cards. I don't even have a bank account, okay? You know, I have money, I think. I don't really know if I have money or not, you know. But I have some way to keep myself alive, okay? And what I've found is that when they can't find you, they can't find you. But they're out there looking. That I will give them. They are out there looking.
Well, so, this is being said by someone who has a handler a few feet away?
Yeah, she's right here right now.
Is there...
Hello. Say hello.
I am not a handler.
Oh. So we're talking, okay, tongue-in-cheek. I was thinking that, but... anyway, so, I mean, I bring this stuff up because it's like, rather than go into a lengthy thing about coming up with all this evidence, there's people out there who have done work. I gave two examples. David Irving, who literally will give you his book in a PDF form if you agree that you want to use it for personal uses.
Yeah.
He literally will give you three of his books for free to download on it. I've watched many hours of his lectures showing actual documents. I have seen this movie, which I understand... This movie is not going to be exhaustive of everything that went wrong, what they did and went wrong. David Irving's work kind of points to some of Hitler's underlings, keeping him insulated. There's no documents and evidence. He's interviewed many people who...
Hey, let me interrupt you for a minute. Hess, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Who was kept in the Tower of London, okay? He had his testicles crushed, okay? He admitted to all kinds of things. They never happened, then, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They never, ever, ever happened. I just want to say this. I want to clear the record for all time. That's a bunch of horse shit, okay? It really is a bunch of horse shit. However many of them died, mostly died from typhus, okay? Did not die from torture or being made into soap. Or whatever the hell it was, you know, all a big lie.
It goes into that in the movie where they actually did a DNA test on the lampshade of human skin and found out it was duck or something like that.
Yeah, of course.
And then the heads that they claimed were Polish disappeared at that point. There's also, again, a guy who went out, was hired as an expert for gas chambers who tested the bricks in the various areas, and he found there was no cyanide. He himself ends up going to prison. He's just a guy hired to chase an expert and so forth. So, I mean, you see all these. This to me is forensic evidence. Now, does that mean nothing bad happened? No, of course not. I mean, war is bad, period, whatever the reason. So, yeah, there's a lot of terrible things happen, but what I'm trying to say is, like, what is being done here is given the listener now has some things to do. You've had has your insights. You have a blog that I've linked to. That you put out evidence and the stuff that you helped you come up to a conclusion. I've put out a couple of these items. I've now listened to this movie three times, and I have. I'm going to be looking through the works, and I'm not going to go on some crusade here. Everything I've done in this show is from my personal knowledge and learning on it, so I have a better view.
Let me interrupt you again.
Yeah,
Ernst Kunz Hitler, okay? He got sent to prison for 5 years in Germany. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't think so.
Ah, well, they put his lawyer in prison also. See, it's not that denying the Holocaust. So you have to understand, you can't prove your case, okay? You can't prove your case. All they, the law says, is you can't deny it, see, period. So it doesn't matter what your case is. It doesn't matter, okay? Now, any time that you hide a fucking excuse me, I'm sorry, girl. Okay. Anyway, anytime you hide something, okay, then the truth shows up. And the truth, naked, beaten, and bleeding alone, back in some back alley, the truth always rises, you know, with blood all over itself, but it's immortal, okay? The truth is immortal. This is something that people don't get. The truth is immortal and is real. It is absolutely stinking real. You know, it's, you try to like change it, you can't. Yeah, you try to morph it and put like, I don't really know at this point, but you can't mess with the truth. The truth will find you. Yeah.
Well, this movie I'm talking about, documentary 2013, it has 2,000, and on this IMDb website, it has 2,071 people watched it, reviewed it, with a 7.7% out of 10, 7.7 out of 10, which is phenomenal, because a lot of the things that you see that is questions history, World War II history pre and post, usually gets a lot of mud thrown at it. So it's you know, there's enough people who went in looking at this and went, wow, I got a point there. And even if, see, I understand that this is being made from a pro position, but there are facts that are in there and information that is beyond pro or against. It just is
BS
reality.
Is BS. BS is BS. It is. Bullshit is bullshit, okay? I mean, I tried to, like, keep it light here for a bit, but bullshit is bullshit, you know? I mean, I went and looked. I didn't want the truth to lead me to this point. I really did not want the truth to lead me to this point. But the truth led me there, see? This is how it worked. You know, I got caught in a ribbon of darkness, if you will, and I had to, like, look at this thing. And, man, my brother, crazy, crazy shit. You know, sorry about the shit. I'm sorry, I said it twice. Anyway, you know, the world lies, okay? And it lies a ton. It lies all the time, you know? I mean, I wish it were different, but it isn't. It is just a lie across the board. It's a lie. And, I mean, if you want to, like, investigate the facts, you find out what I found out, which is it's all of... I must use the F word.
Right.
It's a lie. It's a lie.
Right. Well, anyway, I'm keeping your post on smoking mirrors. I'm going to link with this so that people can read that and go through the references that you have for this part. I wanted to do this because of what brouhaha has come up. I'm noticing people are unsubscribing to the YouTube channel, which is ridiculous. When someone wants to look into something, and I don't know, but anyway, that's how it is. And it stemmed from some things that it talked about. I want to have you on to talk about it, to put these other information out there along with your information, and now it can allow a person, if they care to, can look into it or not. And
James,
yes,
James, my brother. Okay. I understand why you don't want to recognize this, okay? Believe me, it's easy for me to understand this. That is a big deal for you to have to acknowledge it. You know, you just deal with it as best you can. I have other objectives in mind. I'm a little messed up. Let me put that, like, you know, as comfortably as I can. You know, I've lost my mind more than once. I can't even find my mind. I'm looking all over the place for my mind. If I could find my mind, if I could put my hands on it, geez, it would be incredible, you know? But I can't. But one thing I know about the Holocaust is a whole bunch of BS. It's a lie. It's an absolute lie, and I can prove it. So if anyone really has a problem with me about this, let them go to my website where I point in fact, okay, everything you need to know, okay? Seriously, everything you need to know.
And I do have the links on there that I have on there.
Did you find those links disturbing or not creative? Or what?
No. I thought that, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that there is loads of BS, as you say, in this whole scenario. But my whole shock, I think I was initially seeing how bad the Allies were. Now, I know war is bad, but, I mean, Russia made everybody else look like school children.
They bombed. Dresden, man. They flattened it, you know. They came in there. They raped and pillaged. Yeah.
And it's terrible. And that's why I think if people want to view this documentary I mentioned just for that information, forgetting even the Holocaust stuff, which is even more amazing to see all the evidence there.
They killed more Germans than any of Jews that they were concerned with. But let's go back to Russia, okay? This is a very important thing. The Cheka, the secret police of Russia, okay? They were almost all Jews, okay? And they killed a lot of people. So, I mean, you know, to my mind, you know, who's a psychopath, who isn't? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, anyway, this is where it's obvious. What I've said before in another show is that it's like I'm more surprised in the reaction that there's no sacred cow that I've ever looked at was correct. I'll tell you, Les, the only thing that survived my scrutiny, not only intact, but it was better than I even thought it was when I was reading the words of Jesus Christ. Those words not only survived my scrutiny, but were just became 10 times more awesome.
By their works, you shall know them.
It's like, right? Anything that I say in a quote, there's a quote that Jesus said in some aspect.
By
it fits right
works,
into like. Right.
You shall know them. By their works, you shall know them. He said, remember what he also said? There are those among you who call themselves Jews who are not. They are the synagogue of Satan, okay? And I hate to bring this up. You know, I have many good friends who are Jews, okay? I love these people. They are just fantastic individuals. Every time I was down, they helped me up. But I'll tell you this, and believe me on this, there are some very bad ones out there, and they're just doing what they do. I mean, because of the materialistic aspect, you know.
You there still?
Yes,
okay.
I'm here.
I think that Synagogue of Satan quote might have been John. But anyway, the aspect of it all is that when it does say that who are Jews but are not, it does show that at the time, there were people who weren't, they were hypocrites, they weren't sincere. They're pretending, they're saying they're Jews, but they're not. Their works show that they weren't following the teachings of God. So, I mean,
well, you really go out of your way to make all this, like, analytically correct. I mean, you know.
Well, Les, I do. And the reason why I do is because when I look through I've been looking through Facebook now for about the last year, really, for the first time.
Am I there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're there somewhere. You have a Facebook page, yeah. But the point is that people just say stuff, you know, and it's like anybody could say anything, but it has to tether with reality to really mean something. Now, whether it's a figurative speech or whether it's a formula that things can be put through and it works, or whether or not it's tied to an actual reality of something happening, I try to look for things that have some kind of grounding to it.
I don't say anything I can't prove, okay? I never say anything I can't prove, and that's a fact.
Well, and I don't know if you...
People can argue. Hey, if anyone's got a problem with me, they can go right to my blogs and reach me through my email, okay? And I'll give them documents and folders. You have no idea what I have at my, well, how do I call it, at my disposal. Yeah, I guess that's a good way to put it.
But what I was getting through, it explains why, if you look around the world, why there is only one religion that is hostile to Jesus. And that would be at least the conservative Jews. I don't know what they would be called in an actual sense of the religion. You know, what name you would give it, but there is a visceral
Orthodox.
Orthodox, yeah.
Orthodox, yes. Okay.
So again, it's all rather fascinating to me.
Yeah, you know that they kill the Palestinians on a daily basis. That crucifies me. You know, I feel like I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do when they crucify the Palestinians. And I sent you that map, you know, once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, I sent it to you. The disappearing map of Palestine.
There's actually a map in this documentary where they show the, I think it was even the pre-World War I map of Palestine, which is pretty large. and the paperwork that come with the deal that was made with Churchill, not Churchill, I forgot who the guy was in World War II, the prime minister, and so forth. And, you know, you see the documents. Now, one or two things here and there might be out of context, but not the army of evidence on it. So, and this is kind of why I wanted to allow people who feel like they want to go into this to go to some solid areas rather than just some...
It's all bullshit. History is written by the victors.
Why, I tell you, it's clear as a bell it is. I mean...
Exactly. You know, and they have done it over and over again. I mean, please, spare me from my... this. But, you know, it's just written by people who just make this shit up out of whole cloth. You know, I'm sorry that I'm incorrigible in a certain way, and I don't have my shit together. Let's face it, I don't. You know, but I can see the trees. You know, a tree doesn't fall in the forest where I'm standing, and I don't hear it hit the ground. Okay, that's another, like Schrodinger's pet cat. I mean, you know, I'm a mathematician. I'm also an individual who looks at things logically. And, you know, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. You can swerve it any way you want to, but it's a lie.
Well, I think this will probably be good for now. I appreciate the time that you've given on this topic. I, for one, look at probably the stuff that I like most that you do is bringing up these aspects of, especially the coming avatar and those aspects. I can't tell you the joy that I get through it. I mean, you're one of these guys that look in the dark and the light, and you take it all really serious. I can feel it in you, grading in down to your soul. And I just want to also at this time encourage you that the stuff you talk about in the light is very wonderful. And so when we get a dose of the dark, it's great to have the dose of the light and the truth and the love.
My brother, it is a pleasure to visit with you. I'm not myself, obviously, but we can sign off now. And good luck to you, however that may find itself.
I appreciate it and look forward to continuing with your segments. It's been 8 years. I want to wish you a happy 8-year-old birthday for doing these segments on Feet to Fire. It's a personal treat and treasure to have them. In fact, for those who aren't aware of this, I have everything that's ever been said here from Les on our servers that they can go to by clicking on the link on our front page. It'll take you there, and you can download everything back to June of 2008. So to show you how much I appreciate it and to think it's relevant and worthy, I offer it for free on the server. So,
my pleasure. Enjoy it from here.
And we'll look forward to reading and listening to you the next time. God bless. Well, there you go, less visible. It's one of the things when you actually deal in the reality of the world, it is very... It's like if you look at a parabola, like a sine wave, it goes up and down like that. If you look at the bell curve, that's a better way to say it. You look at the bell curve, you got the lows, you got the highs. When you deal with reality and you want to look past all the fakeness that has been constructed around us, you see things that are wonderful and you see things that are horrible. It's like if you look at the human eye, there's infrared and then at the x-ray at the top, and these are all out of our range of seeing. And we only see a portion of it that we can we use in our lives. And when you do want to see the reality of things and the truths, you go past those areas and you see things of wonder and amazement. I felt in finding some truth, especially in terms of spiritual truths, that when those things line up and connect you to the depth of the spirit, I just weep. It's beyond words, and if you try to describe it, it tarnishes it. But on the same breath, if you're going to see those things, you're going to see the hidden evil things, and they're amazingly terrible. Now, what's happening nowadays, I say, is that middle band that we see is widening, and we're seeing more of the wonder and the evil, the horrible. And as we get wider vision toward our better view of reality, we're going to be exposed to those things. And if you concentrate only on the exposing of the evil that is coming out, which is a lot of it is in the politics and various websites pointing out the evil past. And as I mentioned in this one documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told, in there they go into some of the horror that happened that was covered up in World War II. When you find these things, they're terrible. And more is revealed, and it's terrible. And it will tear you down. It will destroy you, which is, of course, the goal of the dark side. If you are going to see all this wonder, they don't want you. They want to control you and your energy to make you a slave and continue this downward. If you feel down, you feel mad, angry, down, all that energy can be sucked off you, not to mention your physical labor and what you can do. And so the emphasis on the world, on any, if you look in the, you look in people exposing evil for the, in the Patriot movement and all that, there's a lot of negative down. And you see this stuff and, you hear it. You have to also, as you're widening, you got to look at the glory of it. When you understand that God is allowing all this stuff to happen and that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that when it were all done and said for, it'll make sense. That I've said that perhaps we being humanity is an example of a somebody doing things in their own power geared toward the ego, and it's been milked and beaten and brought down and formed by darkness to show what happens. But the greatness is there. We don't see the news, the great things that have happened. And one of the things I've noticed about Facebook is nice, a lot of the things people have done, saving animals, saving one another, great gifts of helping people, doing things of service, of personal sacrifice and helping those things. Those people are coming up there. So one of the good things we have here is we have this aspect of the wonderful things that are happening. We have to open our eyes to realize it all. And time, I think, is short. So as this revealing is happening, what ends up happening is that it's going to get tougher, and we should have been already coming closer to reality, so now it's going to be faster and faster and harder and harder. And all I could say is you got to hang on to the love of God through this and just know that everything will work out. I mean, if the world were to completely crash in a hit by an asteroid, that will work out. I don't know what that workout is. That's where the faith comes in, because the creation of the universe is too magnificent, and the serendipity of the things that have happened here and there, the fingerprint of God is too great on there to just simply be not worth it. And so that's all I'm saying, is that as we do these things, and you could see in Les's case, having his inside insights and having his inside being tore up and out in doing his service and so on, you could see the scars that it causes. I myself have my own, and, I haven't gone through half of what Les has. And I'm just hoping there's not more to, I mean, it's not going to get worse to come, but, so the idea that I learned from this is to give people who are in the service of knowing more. If you know more about God, there's going to be more, you're going to be open to more abuse by those who don't want you to know about God. So the closer you come, I think it'd be easier, but it gets harder. But the good news is you have that energy that holds you up, and it's important to look at those things. And my love and my prayers go out to Les, who has done so much good over the years for people, and his writings and his speaking. And again, your blogs are there to be read. They're all over the place. I've put them on our front page, feettothefireradio.com. You can scroll down. You'll see all his blogs. There's a link for all his segments that he's done every week. Mostly every week, majority of weeks for the last 8 years. And so those things are there for the perusing. It's just that all I can say is, what did you expect to see when you went out to the desert to see Les? Yeah, did you expect not to see one eating locust and wearing a belt of leather, living out in the trenches? What did you expect to see? Some kind of smooth-tongued, lying, rich evangelist. You're seeing someone who has lived in the trenches, finding truth, and has been beaten for it, and has the scars to prove. And so my blessings, my humble thanks, and my heart goes out to Les, and we'll keep him in prayers. I do have a meditation that I put up for him at one time when he fell and almost died and was healing. Maybe I'll link to that too, just in general, so we can remember him and keep him in his prayers. And I, again, thank him for the wonders of stuff that he has done for us here at Feet to Fire. Look at the clock. I'm going to have to wind it down here. Again, I appreciate the time that you have spent here with us. It gives me a reason to continue on in some kind of coherent fashion to present this information as I get it. I feel an obligation to present it for your perusal, and that's the only obligation. My obligation is not to convince you. It's not to deter you. It's not to change your course in any way. It's just to provide a insight, and that may be profitable. And if it's if it is, God bless. And if it isn't, God bless. So we will continue doing the show as long as we can. It is getting pretty tough out there. And many things are in my life are going pretty goofy with my business, which is going downhill. So I'm going to have to talk with Jim next week, because he, a friend psychic of mine, talked about how week after, how great July was going to be. I was going to be smiling. Well, we'll see. But just remember, though, that what you do here and now is something that is going to affect you for your eternal course, and it's best to take the high road and do what's best for the long term than take the short term and do what's worse for the long term. Anyway, this is Feet to Fire. I'm James Othianchik, the Black Knight of Talk Radio, year 14. Will there be a year 15? I don't know. Leaving you with Steppenwolf, my favorite song, Monster, with a chorus, realize that we're being called for service.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.